All right, says we should be going live shortly. Hopefully it all works. Says we're live. Says we're live. Says we're live. Says we're live. What's going on, everyone? It is August 2nd. We are past the deadline. We are past the big brawl. We've got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about the trades that were made, trades that weren't made, and the games that were played. Let's talk some baseball.
Talking baseball.
Welcome back to the show. Every Monday, every Friday, myself, my co-host, best friend, Jake, can talk about the games that were, the series that were, the standings that shuffled, and the brawl. Got to talk about the brawl, Jake.
A lot of shuffling on this show. How you doing, at John Boy?
Yeah, I went back to the standing shuffle thing to see if I delivered it in a way you understood this time.
Yeah, that time you said the right words. That was a big thing. But how are you doing?
I'm good. Doing well. Busy. Busy day in the city yesterday in New York City.
New York City.
No baseball yesterday for Yankee fans. So, like, gotta take advantage of the off days.
Yeah.
Now you and I work at the Yankee games. We got four games in the next 3 days. So,
doubleheader, Sox. They had a tough week. We're gonna talk about them a little bit. Yeah, it's funny you and I stumbling into this world. We were like, yeah, to start the year, we were like, oh, off days, we're gonna have to take them fully off because off days are few and far between. And then off days became like our biggest work days to catch up on stuff. And now here we are, and we kind of found ourselves hanging on a thread. So, yeah, I think we're doing all right. Big weekend coming up for us. It was a big week for baseball, man. Trade deadline. You and I are obviously going to talk about that ad nauseum. Is that what people want to hear? No,
it's not at nauseum. It's ad nauseum. It's one. It's a D.
No, that's my Twitter. That's my new Twitter handle I'm running.
Oh, it's at. When,
yeah. When someone's doing that. So, but yeah, I think it was good for baseball. There's a lot of good stuff. Couple good series. Couple fun players to talk about. So I'm excited. I thought you were going to say there was no baseball yesterday at first, and I was like, whoa. But yeah, I think there was some baseball. There was some baseball. There's some good baseball. And
there were some suspensions announced.
Suspensions came out. That brawl was nuts. I'm sure that might get brought up on Who Got Mad.
Who Got Mad?
Jimmy, who's bringing us this episode?
Tons of people. The talking baseball gang is growing.
Yeah, dude. I'm done. I said, I think last episode, I'm done sucking up to them. I'm not. We're almost up to 300 reviews. I got people tagging Adam Duvall on my Twitter feed, so you might hear about him later. So, yeah, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. These are our most recent sponsors, most recent patrons and sponsors of this episode. I'm going to go down the list, and I'm going to go faster than I usually have to because there's a lot of people, so I thank you very much. Raymond Sveck.
Oh, love that. Bat and leadoff, Raymond Sveck.
Yep. Austin Brown, solid name there. Peyton Boston.
Wow.
Peyton Boston. Wonder if that's his real last name or he's just, you know, that's his moniker. Ulysses Morales.
All day.
Yeah. Rich George. Oh, what's up, Rich? We know Rich. Good friend from Talking Yanks. Amit Shah.
Yep.
Amit? I think I got it right in my first time.
You're right.
Amit Shah. Ben Packer, nailed that name. Nailed that name. Luke Bruno. Yeah. I went no T. You see that?
I did see that. I assume that's how it said. Otherwise, it's Brunot.
Yeah, okay. Alec Arroyo.
Arroyo.
Matthew Fastnatch. Ben Meltzer. Jonathan Wenner. I think that's Wiener.
Wiener, you could pronounce that a couple different names. There is an H in there for everyone looking to stalk Jonathan.
Kim Schmidt, yeah. Unbreakable. They're alive,
is that show good?
Damn it.
I never really watched that.
Oh, you'd love one character from it. So the first couple episodes, like the world is too bizarre, and you're like, this show sucks. It's too weird. And then once it hits you, and you're like, oh, okay, it's just I accept this weird world. Yeah. You'd love Titus.
Okay.
I think you
isn't Durs in that show from Workaholics? Am I mixing shows now?
I think you're mixing shows up. He might be in later seasons.
That's the Mindy Kaling show.
That's the Mindy Kaling show. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Kimmy Schmidt.
William Reichman, Matt McMahon, Steven D'Souza.
Yeah.
Ryan Kostyanek. Kostyanuk. Kostyanek. I'm going Kostyanek. There's no way I'm right.
Jack Fellers, Matt Garville, a couple friends, sure.
Jack Fellers sent me a high school championship game that he wants me to do a breakdown of. And he the most in detail description of what happened in the game. I might have to just because the effort he put through the request. Matt Garville, Chris Breitbarth. Breitbarth.
Be careful with that, yeah.
Yeah, UK come after you. Thomas Heath, Neil Dillon, Thron Gundula.
Love that.
Poppy Massey.
Yep.
That's a great name, Poppy Massey. Yeah. Garrett Bublik, Dave McClure, Mike McClure's brother. I like Mike McClure, the musician. Daniel Salas, Angela Leaf, Loco Sports, Adam Gorman, Jason Stewart, Greg Lutz, and Jesse Ozog.
Yeah, Loco Sports. That's pretty smart. If you're a company that's trying to get like a free,
two-second ad. No, just so I
sign up to Patreon.
I wanted to avoid that, so I went to see if they had like a real name in their email.
Right.
But the email was also Loco Sports. So
hey,
I was
if they stay on Patreon.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll give you that one second.
All right. So those are our Patreon's sponsors, patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia. You'll get shouted out next episode if you join before next episode. $2 a month. We actually, since July's over, we will have two people that win jerseys from affordablejerseys.com. I have to do that soon to give out raffles to our patrons. And I did like a whole behind the scenes. I edited a breakdown live so people could watch me, and I explained like the process and the thought process and all that. So some people like that stuff, some people don't. I love that stuff. Patton Oswalt doesn't like that stuff, so there you go.
Good routine there. It's a little bit help support us if you're looking for a way to support us, and you will fall into some bonus stuff. Never mind being able to win two jerseys a month, we'll get some extra stuff on there, and we thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go right into it, Jake. I'm going first with the National League report.
Could you bring me the National League report? Because I've been living up to what I've promised the people of not watching every baseball game.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
The Cubs lost 2 to the Cardinals in a battle for first place, Jake. The Cubbies are now a game back in the division. First time they are not leading division or tied for the lead in a while. These two teams have 7 games versus each other, and they all come at the tail end of September. That should be a fun end to the NL Central Division. Speaking of, the Pirates and the Reds squared off for a nice, quiet 3-game set in which the Reds won the first and last game. No trades, no brawls, nothing really happened there. The Braves and Nationals hung out together for a while. Nationals beat the Braves in game 1. Oh, can something happen here? No, the Braves said, nah, we're still better than you. We like our lead in the standings. We're going to keep it. The Braves win the next 2 games. Phillies and Giants battled off in a wild card race. The Phillies won the first game, and then they won the third. Is the Giants' magic wearing off, Jake? We'll talk about it. Dodgers and Rockies met up. Dodgers took 2 of 3 from the Rockies. Rockies remain sad. Manny Machado had a reunion with his old buddies as he welcomed the Baltimore Orioles to San Diego. Said, isn't this so much better than Baltimore? Those two teams split a set. Speaking of splits, the D-backs and the Yankees split. The Marlins almost got swept by the Twins, but the Twins blew it in the 9th inning. Marlins tie the game, then they win it on a walk-off in the 12th. The Mets swept the White Sox. Some interleague play. Great pitching in this series. A lot of good starting pitching performances in this Mets-White Sox series. Mets have now won 7 in a row, Jake. And they have their players pumping out Instagram messages, please believe in us. We believe in us. Will you believe in us? So that's pretty hoiky-doiky loserish. But they're winning, so that's good. The Brewers and A's, they squared off in Oakland. A's come back to win 1, walk off another, beat the Brewers. Those are two teams that are going to be involved in postseason races. And that about that about ends it. Like I said, the Cardinals, they are now leading that NL Central division. The Dodgers still have a resounding lead in the West. And the Braves are, I think it's pretty solid. I think it's 6-game lead in the East. But that fucking Central division is going to be fun. I'm glad that it exists. Like, we need a division to give us some fun. And that's it.
Jim, the Braves, you're right. We've been kind of dancing around it because the Nationals are a sexy team. Phillies, Bryce Harper's hair, I don't need to talk about that. But it's 7 games on both of them. And basically, believe in the Braves until they give you a reason not to, and they haven't. So the Braves kind of control the East. Jimmy, your best team in the National League in their last 10 games, your New York Metropolitans, babe. 7 in a row. That staff's going. I know you said the Instagram post and Brody went to Twitter with the iPhone notes. I don't know if you saw that one yet. I'll tell you what, it is hokey, and you're obviously going to take your jabs and already have. Hey, when you're winning, it looks good, though.
I believe it is a part of why they're doing well. Like, they clearly had a team meeting, and, you know, we believe in this team, and we're going to help this team. And that goes a long way in sports and in the clubhouse and the mentality. I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if they're really going to be able to do any damage in the standings and get to the wild card and all that stuff. I do think the Instagram posts are so hokey. Like, if a team I'm a fan of, I want to pull up Pete Alonso's. I don't want to open the show just being a grouch, but I'll just say this. I'd be more embarrassed than enthused if a player on my team begged the fan base to be happy about the team they're supporting. It's just a weird conundrum.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you also have to you have to put everything in the blender here. I mean, it's Mets Nation. It's, and a lot of Mets fans are Jets fans, and you live that Met Jet life where you're just waiting for something to go wrong. Hey, man, there's one way to break it, and you have to win, and they're trying to do that. They obviously went out and got Stroman. They've got one of the best rotations in baseball right now, and they're winning. So good for the Mets. If they think the Instagram posts and rallying the fan base is part of it, that's kind of cool. I mean, you know how attached we are to Yankee Twitter, and if they came out with some posts like this, like, a lot of people would eat it up. So good for them.
Yes, not me. This was Pete Alonso's Instagram post. Thank you guys so much for your unwavering support. You guys have been unreal all year. That's not true. Just to let Mets fans have, I mean, that's not true. The Mets fans are brutal.
Pete, I support you putting out your messages. Just don't lie to our faces, okay?
The Mets fans have not been unbelievably supportive all year. I mean, that's why he's typing this message, is because they have not. We are in crunch time. We've played over 2 weeks more on the road than at home thus far. This reads like a rookie who's new to baseball. During the months of August and September, we're going to have a ton more games at home. The boys are hot, and we've been working our asses off. Hard work has really been paying off this second half. The rest of the season is going to be a really fun, wild, and memorable ride. Our goal is to make history. We strive every day to be great and nothing less. We need you guys, the fans, more than ever for these last 2 months. Together, let's be part of history. It just sounds very desperate to me.
Hey, man, it's not to twist the knife at the start, but it's Mets life. They kind of are desperate.
Yeah. If you have to tell your fan base you've been working really hard, he just didn't need to say that, because I like Pete Alonso. It's just like, come on, dude, that's so lame.
Yeah, man, they're rallying the troops. They had a rally cry in the clubhouse. Everyone thought there's all these, they were going to send Edwin Diaz out rumors. They end up sending Vargas out, but they bring in Stroman. And they are trying to rally themselves, and it's, so far it's working. And I'll tell you what,
the Mets, results are awesome.
If the Mets do make some sort of miraculous run, the miraculous Mets, and they end up as the last wild card team and lose in that first game, actually throw DeGrom out there.
If they make the wild card game, they have they have a lot of chances to do really well. Like DeGrom, and then DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, They're dangerous, but they have a lot to do, Jake. They have
so much to do, and that's why they're talking like this, Jim. They're trying to talk themselves through it.
They have to jump four teams.
Yeah, and hey, but four games out, and I mean two of those teams are in their division, and as Handsome Pete was talking about, they're going to have to play those teams at home two more weeks on the road. So I don't know, man. I get it. It is hokey. As long as they're winning, it looks great. And right now, if you're a Mets fan, you're like, we are rallying right now. These last 2 months, we're going. So good for the Mets, babe.
They got a nice schedule coming up. I think we talked about this last episode. The Mets have Pittsburgh with all their suspensions and drama and just turmoil. Then four games versus Miami. Miami's not good, but they've been pesky lately. And then the Nationals is a big series. So
Pittsburgh's been the worst team in the NL for the last 10. They're 1-9.
Yeah, we would talk about them coming up. We'll save it for the Who Got Mad section and all that. But
what else did we like in the NL?
The Cubs, man. The Cubs are in a bad place. They keep losing.
Isn't that, Jim, you phrased that perfectly for what I wanted to say. How about we give the Cardinals some more love? The Cardinals won that series, but we do naturally want to say, like, Cubs are blowing it.
That's, you know what, I don't want to be, like, whatever the term would be, like, dismissive of the Cardinals, which I just kind of was accidentally. I just need to know more about this Cardinals team. I'm going to take it upon myself to, like, dive through, after this episode, dive through this Cardinals team and find some guys to love. If I have Cardinals fans, give me some guys to love. Because, and I know this makes Cardinals fans upset right now, Yachty turns me away from your team. Like, I don't like Yachty and how he presents himself and talks. And I don't like how much your fan base likes Yachty and will now, like, hate me for saying this. So give me some players. I like Goldie. I like the way he goes about himself. I like all that. Give me some guys that I can dig into and love on the Cardinals because I want to. I want to stop being dismissive of them.
Yeah. I caught a little bit of their game on Cubs cards on ESPN the other day. Again, told you I won't watch all the games, but I'll catch some, folks. And yeah, you're right. Goldie's fun. Paul DeJong, our guy. I was surprised to hear that they traded away what's his name? I'm blanking on it. He's got another tough name for me to say.
I don't know.
They trade away that infielder to the Cardinals or to the Dodgers, but yeah, Cardinals fans, reach out. We want to love you. Jack Flaherty? What else?
Jack Flaherty, human pickoff machine. They have him run the bases. He made like two game-ending outs on the base paths because the National League's ridiculous. Anyway, yeah, man, the Mets are 14-16 in their last 30, 3-7 in their last 10, and they're going to Milwaukee now, who's, you know, if they lose this series to Milwaukee, can that dive them even further down? Like, how big is this? What's Milwaukee? Let me check it out. Milwaukee's two games back, one game behind the Cubs. So if the Cubs lose to Milwaukee, lose 2 out of 3, then the Cubs are now in third place in the division.
Yeah, and something the Cubs have to be careful of is this being a thing, because they do kind of have more eyes on them. Joe Maddon's contract is up at the end of the season. That was something that people talked about a lot coming into the year. So if the Cubs end up in third place, even if it's 2 or 3 games back, people are going to start talking, and that's going to become a thing, and like the pressure is going to come on the Cubbies. So I think it is not to be rude to the Cardinals and the Brewers, but it's a little more important for the Cubs to stay up there, because if they don't, people are going to get loud.
Yep. All right. Next up, let me know what happened in the AL, Jake. Very interested. Very curious. Need to know. This is your AL report by Jake Storielli.
Jim, your New York Yankees, they split 2 with the Diamondbacks. We mentioned that briefly as they prepare for a 4-game set coming up against Boston with a doubleheader on Saturday. Speaking of Boston, Jim, they get swept by the Rays at Fenway. Tough time for the Sox pen. Well, we knew that. Good for the Rays. They keep trucking on. They made a move at the deadline. We'll get there. The Jays were sellers at the deadline, but they sweep Lords Royals in Kansas City. And, Jim, you'll see it on my notes here. Vlad equals good. He's a beast. Orioles, they split two with the Padres in San Diego in the Machado Bowl. Into your AL Central, the Twinkies went down to South Beach to take 2 out of 3. Jim, you mentioned this. They traded for Sam Dyson, and he blew the third game to blow the sweep for them. 3 in the 9th, they lose in 12 innings to the Miami Marlins. Cleveland, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Strohs behind Verlander and Cole. Those words haven't haunted me all season. Good for you, Houston. White Sox, they get swept by your underdog chasing the pack. Mets, we talked about them. And Los Tigres take 2 out of 3 in Anaheim. Get your hashtag free Mike Trout tweets ready. And in the West, you know the Angels blew it. You know the Strohs beat Cleveland. Jim, we had a great series in the Yay area, the Jeff Krause Bowl, as we call it. 3 great games between Milwaukee and the A's. A 3-run homer off a Hader for the A's to win 2 out of 3. They take the rubber match. And then the bottom of the AL West, Tejas versus Seattle. They split a couple high-scoring affairs at the ballpark in Arlington.
You know what jumps out to my brain, and I feel bad that it does, but the Angels, man. The Angels had a home series versus the Baltimore Orioles and the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
The two worst teams in the AL. The two worst teams in the AL, the Angels had 7 games against them, probably looking to do some good work, make up some ground. They go 2-5.
Yeah.
Versus the Baltimore Orioles and the Detroit Tigers. They lost both series. That's not good for the Angels.
And now they're about to go at Cleveland coming up. So, yeah, man, they
have a big road trip coming up. Yeah, I mean, that's damning.
You and I, we not to say we saw this coming, but I don't know. I mean, it's just, how are the Angels? I mean, unless Trout goes to a world we've never seen, which, by the way, Trout just lives in a world we've never seen. He just has no help. It was, how are the Angels going to jump Boston, Oakland, and Tampa? And I don't think there's a formula there for it. So, the deadline passes. They're 56-54, 6.5 games out of that second wild card spot. And you're right. They just kind of blew it. If you take care of work against Baltimore and the White Sox, you know, we could give you a little love and say, yeah, rally behind Mike Trout and get it going. Again, it's just tough to picture. And after this road trip, it just feels like we're going to end up saying, well, the Angels are double digits out of the wild card. Have a good year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Central still remains somewhat of a race. I mean, Cleveland had to face Houston, and there's a lot going on with trades and all that nonsense. But the Twins had a chance to sweep to make it a 4-game lead, and they blow it with their new guy, like you said, Dyson. So it remains 3 games, a lot of baseball left, 2 full months, guys. So that'll stay interesting. We'll see what the trade deadline does to help the Indians. I'm kind of interested to see what you have on that. But anything else you want to talk about? The Red Sox. The Red Sox losing to the Rays, getting swept. These are two teams in the back. Now the Red Sox are 10.5 games out, and their GM said, we were too far out for us to make any moves, so we didn't do anything, not even minor moves. And talk about how much the Mets are rallying behind the moves they made and putting faith in their guys. It's the opposite is happening in Boston.
Well, Jim, and I think we have to compare it to our Yanks a little bit because, you know, the Yankees didn't make a deadline move, and we were kind of all on that. Like, they have to. They always do. But when you catch your breath and reset – when you're the Yankees, you're like, all right, we still want to win the division. Okay, we've got a 7-game lead on the Rays, 10.5 on the Sox. All right, well, Houston's going to be a bitch, but hopefully we don't have to play them until the ALCS, and we'll do our best there. If you're a Red Sox fan, now you're 10.5 out. The Rays have 3 games up on you, and your team didn't go out and make that move. And it, I think for Red Sox fans, this was their first realization, like, oh, this is what Yankee fans were talking about last year when they said they were going to stay under that salary cap. And there were a couple cheap relievers out there, but Boston's kind of cleared out some depth in their farm system. And They kind of crunched the numbers upstairs and were like, it doesn't make sense to sell out our bullpen. So this was a little bit of the trade deadline, like wake up and be like, okay, so this is it. And then the Rays come in and do that. And it's tough times in Boston right now. And they've got a big four-game set at Yankee Stadium coming up that, man, I mean, you know, it's so funny how quickly baseball can turn. The Yankees fans were all down last week. Oh, we lost 3 out of 4 to Boston. Here they come. Man, the Yankees could drive a stake right through their heart this weekend.
But I will say this, this Red Sox team, even though they didn't get any help and then they're not having a great season and they're 10 and a half games out, they get up for these games against the Yankees. So I'm not expecting them to, like, I'm expecting a fight. I'm expecting the Yankees to have to battle to try and win here. Like but the difference is the Yankees didn't make any moves, and the message was, we're going to get, you know, players back from injury and we believe in this squad and all that. The Red Sox didn't make any moves, and Dombrowski said, if we were better, I would have made moves, which is basically saying I don't believe in this squad enough to help it. That was kind of tough. Yeah. But it is a big four games coming up between the Yankees and the Red Sox. It could change anything. The Rays kind of helped ease my mind as a Yankee fan, because say the Red Sox.
They're doing the Yankees' bidding, Jim.
If the Red Sox swept the Rays or won 2 out of 3, then the Red Sox come into town, like, what, 7 games back, playing 4 games. If they sweep the Yankees, it's 3 games, and now I'm scared shitless. So thank you to Rays, and I guess I got to start being scared of you. Rays made a bunch of deadline moves, and I think let's just get into that. Let's move on.
Yeah,
to,
the last thing I'd mention, kind of the AL has some nice. I don't know if it's symmetry or what's it called when you fold a paper in half and it's the same thing. This is talking baseball, folks. But the kind of symmetry between the Yankees and Houston on top of the West and the East, and then the A's and Tampa behind them is pretty. It's eerily similar.
Yeah, that's a good call. All right.
Thanks,
let's
man.
Let's go to the major storylines, which really we're just going to do the trades right here. There's so many trades. I wrote down on our notes, Jake, all the trades that happened. You know what I was seeing? On some Patreon things, I was looking around what other podcasts do. Some offer the notes from the show. They post them on the Patreon for Patreons only.
Oh, man.
Is that something that we should do? Would people be interested in it? Your notes can
I'm
be
sure
funny.
Some people would be interested. I'm scared of people seeing how my brain actually works, because my notes kind of turn into a foreign language after a little bit.
Maybe I'll just copy and paste this one, and I'll post
it. People
post
like it. Sure.
Sure. Okay. Anyway, so I have a bunch of the trades I wrote down, and I put in bold the ones I think are worth talking about. And doing this national show, I'm always just nervous that, like, St. Louis is going to say, hey, man, why didn't you talk about us getting Zach Roscup?
Right.
Like, well, I didn't bold that one. I didn't think it was worthwhile.
Love Zach Roscup.
Let's see. I want to talk about trades we think will help teams make the playoffs and trades that happen that we don't. So Vargas to the Phillies was the first thing we heard. And it's interesting because Vargas is having a decent year still. He was having a really good year for a while. They got Stroman, so they needed to make a move because they don't have the room for all those pitchers. But they traded Vargas to the Phillies, who are right there in the hunt. Like, Vargas is going to face the Mets. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and it's interesting, man, because Vargas has kind of been part of the, like, fire of this Mets team a little bit, kind of in a bad way. But he got it going. And, Jim, I think the bigger thing is, I mean, coming into this season, Vargas was – Mets fans were killing Vargas. his general look wasn't helping him, but also his pitching performance. So I think the fact that Vargas gave them some good innings, they got Stroman at a price they wanted, and there was interest in Vargas out there, I think they kind of gave a cut and run. If you're a FIP person, fielding independent pitching, his FIP is 4.7, which isn't far off from where he was last year with a 5.77 ERA. And he's got a team option for next year, which has a $2 million buyout. So the Mets said, hey, you'll give us anything back. He's a minor league catcher who can't hit much. I know Mets fans were ripping on that. He's got some good defensive stats, but the fact that they kind of got off Vargas when they could. If you told Mets fans they could get something and get off Vargas at the start of the season, they all would have shook your hand at and thanked you. So I'm kind of all right with it. You are right, though. If the Mets do kind of play their way back in this thing, a good Phillies-Mets with Vargas on the bump? Yep.
They have 6 games against each other in August, I believe. Yeah, they have 6 games at the end of August, beginning of September. The Mets and Phillies play 6 games. And they're, I mean, it could be fun. It could be meaningless at that point, because right now Phillies in the second wild card and the Mets are acting like they're going to chase them and be there. So if the Mets stay on this magic run, maybe San Francisco gave all their magic to the Mets, then those 6 games could be interesting. And you got Vargas going. Now, here's the thing. The Mets pitching is phenomenal now. Stroman, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Matt's even had a good outing recently. So there is no room for Vargas. It's just curious to me, or kind of like, that they traded him to a division rival who's in the race with them. And I wonder, because the return, they got a return, Jake, but it wasn't outstanding. I wonder how much you'd rather, like how much they rather would have just looked outside their own race to, like, you know, the AL or something. I'm rooting for Vargas to have a revenge game versus the Mets. Also, Vargas has
vice versa. I think I'm rooting Mets versus Vargas.
What? I don't know. I don't care who wins the battle. I'm rooting for Vargas to start 2 games versus the Mets. Like, I hope he falls.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, I think we preemptively put that in who got mad. When that series is coming up, I think someone's going to get mad.
And I have an interesting, I look at game logs different than a lot of people, I think, because Vargas' ERA on the year is 4, right?
Right.
I like to look at how many times did he allow 4 runs to the other team.
Sure.
Because that puts you in a hole. Even actually,
Keeps you in a game.
What's that?
If you're not doing that, your team will always have a chance.
Yes, if it's less than 4 runs, your team always has a chance. So he started the season off terrible. His second and third start of the year were like no 1 innings, 4 runs, 1 out, 4 runs. Since then, okay, Jake, he's only allowed more than 3 runs once. And so even with those first 2, 3 times. So he might not be giving you the length you want, and he might not be doing it the way you want him to do it, but he's giving his team a chance to win every time he starts. He's giving them around 5 innings, 3 or less, which that's not a good ERA, but I think that gives you a chance to win the game. So, well, interesting. Anyway, the Mets, I don't think it's a bad move by the Mets, but that was one trade. Done.
Yeah.
Talked about it. Jordan Lyles to the Brewers. You want to talk about that?
Pass.
The Rangers traded Chris Martin to the Braves. Let's talk about the Braves for a second. The Braves get Chris Martin, a relief pitcher from the Rangers. That's good for them. And then they get Shane Green, who will become their closer. The reporters asked Shane Green, what's your role going to be? And he said, you're going to see me in the 9th. I think Shane Green grew up a Braves fan. He's got some swagger. I saw some Braves fans just like, we got a closer. We finally got a closer. So they're excited. So this is a good move by the Braves. I like these moves.
Yeah, and Luke Jackson has saved the majority of their games. He's got 17 saves on the season, and I know Minter was before he went on the he got sent down. So I know they were looking for him to step up a little bit. So yeah, I think Shane Green will get the first hack at it, and Shane Green's been really solid as a closer for a little while now. So again, if that can add to their bullpen depth, which they added to their bullpen depth. Outside of that, you mentioned Chris Martin, hashtag Coldplay, and his story's awesome. He went to Asia, figured it out. I think he's one of those baseball stories that he did a job outside of baseball, so everyone harps on that. And I'm pretty sure it was literally at an electronics store, and he would put the stuff on the higher shelves. Like, that was his main task because he was taller.
Never been there.
Yeah, so yeah, that's, that one time you and I got on each other's shoulders for a while. Good leg workout. But, Jim, they also added Hunter Strickland, which I know when we did the trade deadline a few times back, you talked about how that 2016 Cubs team, before they traded for Aroldis Chapman, they just traded for a bunch of relievers to try to see if they could get anything to work. I mean, if you're the Atlanta Braves, and going back to the whole mentality thing you talked about where you know, Boston kind of got let out to dry a little bit. If you're the Braves, you got Shane Green, who you can believe in, and then you got two other arms who Chris Martin, he's got some advanced stats that look really good. And Hunter Strickland's a guy that's been around a while twirling the pill. So you add to that bullpen depth, and that team is so strong that they're saying, all right, let's go.
They also got Elias.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I'm not familiar
with him. Strickland was the Nats. I was mixing my AL East team because they were the two teams that were doing normal things at the deadline. That's why I'm combining them.
Shane Green has made 38 outings, Jake.
Yeah,
he's allowed a run in four of them. So 34 scoreless outings for Shane Green on the season. He's playing on a terrible Tigers team. So good for Shane Green. Gets out of Detroit. Good for the Braves. I think that's a good move. Have you ever seen Luke Jackson, the guy who was closing for the Braves?
Yeah.
Never seen a guy have less of a closer look be a closer. I think I did a breakdown when he was on the mound once, and I was like, this guy's their closer? Closers usually have a look, Jake. Like, they figured out like what their identity is with their facial hair, or they're just like their posture. Like Chapman comes out, and he's just like this like stiff, like, oh, angry dude. I mean, you got Kimbrel with his weird-ass thing. There's usually, like, something about him that's like, oh, that guy, he's full
he
of, like...
He is the closer.
He has too much confidence in himself. And Luke Jackson, it was like, this guy looks like he just got called up, so...
Yeah.
That might be part of the reason they had to knock him down to setup role.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
big.
Sure. That's so, like you were saying, the Nationals, they got Elias and Strickland to help with their bullpen. I don't think this is as big as what the Braves did, but it could, who knows? It all could help.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting arms, and it's the, exactly what I was just saying. Like, if you're those teams, the GM can walk into the clubhouse and be like, all right, you guys said there were some questions about the bullpen. Here's a couple guys. Let's go out and win. So don't hate the moves.
Strickland's been hurt.
Melanson went to Atlanta. That was the third reliever that I forgot.
Melanson and Shane Green, two Yankees farmhands going to the Braves to help them out.
Yeah. Well, back now. Melanson's been around for a while, but yes.
Strickland's been hurt all season. So he made three outings in March. He came back, pitched one inning in July. One inning, July 28th. Now he's traded. So
taking kinda, a flyer on him.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Let's see. What else did I have here that's big ones? The Cubs get Nick Castellanos.
Castellanos, Jim, and that's that might be one we circle later on because the Cubs were they needed someone against lefties. I think they were having some struggles against lefties this year, and Castellanos mauls lefty. He was a former big time prospect. He took a little while, but he's been starting to put it together. I just had his lefty righty splits, Jim. Home and away, 284 on the road. That's people can use that. Oh, versus lefties this year. Castellanos, 347 with a 415 on base and a 1.026 OPS. So he against lefties, he will be in the middle of that Cubs lineup, and they're looking for that.
Yeah, and he played his first game, I believe, and he goes straight into right field and the two hole. Good
Not
for him.
Bad.
So Hap was in center field before that. So is that who's getting the bump here?
They still mix everyone around in Chicago.
Yeah, but that's who Ian Hap's going to get a lot of time off now. I mean, he wasn't really doing much anyway. He had played six games, so he'd just get called up. So, all right, cool. Castellanos gets out of Detroit, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Detroit sold. Good job, Detroit.
Yeah, there you get some back. Tiger should be somewhat happy. Any more little ones before we get to these big ones? Mike Leake gets moved to Arizona, which is odd because this was kind of, we went on YouTube and did live reaction and stuff, and I was saying this deadline felt more like winter meetings because teams were trading for next year just as much they were trading for the end of this year.
Like, yeah.
The Reds getting Bauer, and we'll get to that. That helps them next year. The Mets getting Stroman, the Reds and like they can act like they're going to make a magical run, but it's not guaranteed. So really, what the extra benefit is? Oh, we get them for next year too. You don't usually see that at the deadline. Usually it's, you know, what can help me right now, and then in the offseason, let's go get next year. And Mike Leake's the same thing. He's got years of control, and Arizona's like, well, we need someone to eat innings because we just got rid of Greinke, and we have Leake for next year too during this, you know, Greinke's gone. So that was interesting to me that this deadline there was teams making moves for next year, like more than the end of this season. Doesn't usually happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jim, I want to hit I'll hit a couple small ones quick before we get to the big two that are out there. Dickerson to Philly, that's a guy that's a former All-Star. I mean, if they can get him right and hitting a little bit, sure. In that ballpark, maybe they can get some good at-bats out of him. Leak to Arizona, I think, Jim, that makes a little more sense when we talk about the trade that's upcoming up because they needed someone to throw innings for them. So we'll get there. And, Jim, the other one, the Jake Feria for Jesus Aguilar trade, that's a really fun one. Feria used to be a big-time starting pitching prospect. He got hurt. The Rays ended up putting him in the pin, and his stuff played up in the bullpen. So it'll be interesting if Milwaukee probably keeps him there, but I wonder if they try to make him a starting pitcher in the future and try to kind of get him back to where he was. And Jesus Aguilar, I mean, he was a guy that was a popular name at last year's All-Star game. He was in the Home Run Derby. He had a terrible start to this season, but he had a decent July. And the Rays, they needed a more stable bat. So if he can be right for them, that could be a huge grab for them. And the other little one, I'll just say quick, Tanner Roark to Oakland. They picked up a couple arms, which, hey, you can never have enough arms. And, hey, how about Scooter Jeanette going to the Bay Area? He's had a rough season, but if he could get a little bit of that Giants magic, you know Scooter Jeanette's a guy who get hot quick.
They got Scooter Jeanette for nothing because he's been injured. He came back from injury. He's got 70 at-bats, and they've been brutal. But, I mean, that's not indicative of who Scooter Jeanette is. You should more focus on that. I want to talk about Jesus Aguilar because you saying he had a good July, the numbers are very, very deceptive. I was shocked at how bad Jesus Aguilar's been this season, Jake. And when you say he had a good July, he had a good five games in the middle of July that – make up the entire month, because surrounding those five games he's hitting 143 with a 433 OPS. Those five games make the entire month look good. It's not a good month. I was shocked at how bad he is, because he had two seasons, really, really good seasons. I was like, oh shit, should I be worried about this as a Yankee fan? I mean, he's having a bad year.
Yeah, and it's I mean, we'll see if baseball kicks in, because sometimes it's just a change of scenery for a guy. I mean, he's still very much a threat, but yeah, he is not having a good season.
His first game with the Rays, pretty good. He had two hits, two RBIs. So maybe, you know, new life. Maybe they just need to keep moving him around all the time, because, you know, he got a second chance with the Brewers when he went off for the first time. In his first at-bat versus Cashner, as a Ray, got walked. And his next one popped out. Then he had a single, then a walk, then a single. So, good for him.
Yeah, and I think, Jim, I'm going to hype him up a little bit, because his year hasn't been good. I mean, 231, 330 on base, a 707 OPS. That's obviously not Jesus Aguilar. But you could chalk that up as a bad kind of chunk of the season. The Rays got him. The dude finished 16th in the MVP voting last year. So, I don't know, a couple good games if he could get his year back on track.
The OPS just went up with the two at-bats in his latest game. Because when they traded for him, it was 694. I don't know, just like I still thought of him as the 800 OPS dude who hits a lot of home runs. He's got 8 home runs on the year and OPS under 7 when they traded for him. I was shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. Baseball, yeah. Susan.
All right, the big trade is the Bauer trade. It's a three-way.
Two big trades.
Yeah, that's the bigger one. Well, they'll do Bauer first because it's so interesting. The Reds trade prospect Taylor Trammell to San Diego. And they trade two other guys, Scott Moss and Yasiel Puig, to Cleveland.
Yeah.
San Diego gets Taylor Trammell. And they trade away Franmil Reyes, who's been playing the outfield for them, Logan Allen, pitching prospect, who's been up a little bit, and Victor Nova, I think, prospect, to the Indians. and the Indians trade away Bauer. That's all the Indians trade away is Bauer. So the Indians get outfield help immediately. They get Franmil Reyes, who's having a good year, and Yasiel Puig, who's a rental. So that would let you know this is a move for today, for this year, Puig. Puig can get really hot at times. He's not, you know, we thought he might be one of the best in the game when he was 19 and going crazy. But he is a solid at what he does. Like, he is a professional ball player that he can certainly be pitched to. But
he's a threat.
He can be a threat at times, and he can get really hot. And he's a lightning rod. And Franmil Reyes is having a good season for the Padres. So basically, here's my interpretation of what these teams did or are trying to do. Cleveland, Bauer's going to make around $20 million in arbitration next year. So they were going to trade him at the offseason anyway because they don't want to pay that because they don't pay a lot of guys. So they're like, well, let's get rid of Bauer. People are trying to say it's because he threw the ball over the fence. I don't think that had any bearing on this at all. I think they were doing this no matter what. But I should also say, on this very show, I said, like, there's no way this happened. So I've never been more wrong. I was wrong about so much. Kind of a weird deadline, but egg on my face, all over it, rubbed in and smushed around. God. Yeah, gross.
Look like we're bread and chicken on your face.
So they get rid of Bauer. They have who just came back? Salazar's coming back. They have Bieber and they have Clevinger. I don't think Kluber's coming back and being healthy for them, but they have enough pitching. They think they needed outfield help. They get outfield help. They're trying to chase the Twins still, but they didn't want to pay Bauer. San Diego's still in rebuild mode. Like, they're not going to win this year. They're probably not going to win next year. And they trade Franmil Reyes, who's good right now. They trade him away, but they get Taylor Trammell, who they think they like his future as an outfielder better than Franmil Reyes for the next 2 years to Cleveland. I think, and then they did some other ancillary pieces, but I think that's the main move. They basically got a younger, better outfielder prospect.
Yeah, and we there's some good AL NL action there. Because Jimmy Franmil Reyes, I went to a Rockies Padres game last year. Had some decent seats. Went by myself, whatever. And I was behind the Padres dugout. Franmil Reyes is huge. He's listed at 6'5", 275. And I know you know this. The first time you and I saw Aaron Judge in person, like close to him, he was near Giancarlo Stanton, and he made Giancarlo Stanton look small.
Not enough people realize that Judge dwarfs Stanton.
And, like, that's not, like, a macho, like, yo, Judge makes Stanton look small. Like, no. Like, Judge is just, like, thick and filled out. Franmil Reyes is the same way, dude. I saw him, and I was like, oh, my God. If this dude can run into enough baseballs, he's going to mash. And, Jimmy, he has 27 homers this year in 100 games playing for the Padres. So, which is one of the, I don't know, least hitter-friendly parks. So Franmil Reyes, and he's not a good outfielder, but they can DH him in Cleveland. And Jim, if he can DH and he could get used to that life, Franmil Reyes is a guy you're going to see as, like, the AL's all-star at DH for potentially a lot of years coming up. I love him, so they get him for Bauer. They get Logan Allen, who he was a top 100 pitching prospect. Really good minor league numbers, a 3.08. minor league ERA or something like that, more than a strikeout per inning. So Cleveland gets a pretty good haul for Bauer while they still get to compete, man. Like you said, Puig's going to go into that outfield and do Puig things. I think some of what you said before, and this might shock some people because I love Puig. I did a sexy Puig thing on my Twitter timeline, @TalkingJake, if you like sexy Puig. Puig's a little overrated. Like, he's having a bad year. And his stats won't impress you to the point that you think Yasiel Puig would. But he's a threat at bat, he's a threat in the outfield, and he's going to bring that team instant energy. So with Franmil and Puig, and they can throw those guys in the lineup and roll with it, that's good for them. San Diego, Taylor Trammell, you mentioned him, Jam. He was, by Baseball Prospectus, the number 11 prospect heading into the season. Real athlete, crazy stolen base numbers. 6'2", 215. I think when he fills into that body a little more, they expect some more power than what his minor league numbers have gone. this is kind of a fun trade all around. People are really happy with Cleveland because they still get some talent and they weren't going to be able to keep Bauer at a certain point. The wild card is Cincinnati, who gets Trevor Bauer, but you're right, it's like a move for next year. Like, Cincinnati is putting all their chips on the table for 2020, which we don't see teams doing that anymore, but I think we like it.
Well, their pitching staff's going to be really good for next year.
Yeah. Castillo, Gray, Bauer.
Yeah. Yep. Taylor Trammell, a lot of people are saying, like, he's falling off because his double-A numbers are really bad. No one cares. I mean, he's 21 years old, and all the talent's there, so bank on it. And the Padres are not in win right now mode, so they're, like, trading for the next couple years.
Yeah, and that was funny with all the Syndergaard rumors because they have a ton of pitching prospects, but it's when are those guys going to be really ready to do it? They're going to be a fun team to watch this offseason, but yeah, man, a really fun three-way trade. It was so shocking when after the Stroman trade goes to the Mets, Bauer goes to Cincy. Everyone's sitting there like, what?
I know. My initial treat was like, what the fuck is this? It makes sense now. You can try and get everyone's mindset and you can figure it out, but it's so different. It's just, we're not used to this at the deadline. Then the other big one is Zach Greinke goes to Houston.
At the deadline,
Greinke pitched that day. He goes to Houston. Jake and I, our reaction has gone a little viral in the baseball world because we were fucking blown away because I think it's a nuke. If Greinke pitches well in the postseason, Houston is a fucking force with their staff, Cole, Verlander, Greinke. Not only do they get Greinke for this season, they get Greinke for two more seasons. Four prospects go to the Diamondbacks. I'm not sure if they're good or not. I don't know if you just want to do like a good, not good, good, not good, Jake. I don't want to get into all of them. One of them's got a cool name, Seth Beer, which is...
And he's the best prospect involved, Jim. He's the number three in their system. Big power potential. I think he's a Clemson boy. Seth Beer, left field, first base type, big guy, big power potential. You might see him and Yordan Alvarez. Houston fans were excited to see him and Yordan Alvarez coming up. He goes to the desert, and I think the package, it was Houston's 3, 4, and 5th best prospects, along with like number 22 or something. They get a good return. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Jim, I've been honest talking about my fears of Verlander and Cole on this show, and they add Greinke, man. I mean, those guys, those guys can end a series really quick. They in Vegas, Houston jumps up to the favorites to win the AL.
If you're a Houston fan, be so happy with what your management just did for you. Be so happy.
Yeah.
More years.
And honestly, Jim, not for nothing, I'm sure Diamondback fans were getting excited and talking themselves into the NL wildcard. We'll see how everything plays out. We'll see if the magical Mets make a run. But, Jim, in a couple years when J.B. Bukauskas, Corbin Martin, I think, and Seth Beer are doing good things for the Diamondbacks and the Mets didn't make the playoffs this year and Marcus Stroman's out of town, that's when you look back at trades and you say, oh, that's why they did that. And also, not for nothing, Zach Greinke gets paid. He gets deserved to get paid, but he makes $32 million. So the Diamondbacks open up some cap, they bring in some prospects, and it's not like they're going to do anything against the Dodgers right now. So build it up, Arizona. Good for them.
All right, that ends the major storylines. This is a longer episode than usual, but let's get into the fun stuff, the segments. Let's recap what happened. Yeah, I'm going on some show in like an hour, so let's get going.
Damn. You want to give your standout performance, Jim?
Yeah, I do. Nice. Very much do.
That worked out.
Wow, perfect. My standout performance is Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
And there's a couple layers to why. One, it was a very impressive outing. 7.1 innings pitched, so gets into the eighth inning. 5 hits. Zero earned runs. There's one run scored on error by third baseman. 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. Dude, I don't know if you've seen any highlights from this game. His stuff was electric. 11 Ks. It looked so good. White Sox had no chance. This was on trade deadline day, and he was a big name being floated around. Very easy for Syndergaard to be like, I had some other shit on my mind.
Yeah.
But he steps on the mound and just, like, does what he does. I've busted Syndergaard's balls a couple times in the past about other things, but, like, dude, when he pitches well, go watch the, if you haven't seen the highlights from this game, go watch the way his ball is moving. I mean, it's just electric. The fastball is electric. He threw like a 93 mile per hour changeup for a strike at one point. It's crazy. And the slider was just nuts. His slider in the eighth inning to sit down. Oh, I forget who it was. Was it Tim Anderson? No, it was the lefty. I forget who it was, but it was so impressive for like his 97th pitch. Just a nasty slider. But I think the moment of the day, and is he going to be traded? Does he know? Does he not know? And then to go on the mound and get into the eighth inning with no earned runs, very impressive.
Yeah, that's a good one, Jim. And you're right, dude. When his fastball is right, it doesn't look real. It looks like a 98 mile per hour lefty slider.
Yeah,
like it moves that much. And yeah, he kind of wasn't having a great season. And man, you wonder, we talked out about our hashtag Mets motivational quotes, but man, if that gets him going and DeGrom has been dominant, I almost gave DeGrom my performance of the week again because he threw a great start.
Him and Giolito had a pitcher. No, was it him and Giolito?
Someone on the Sox.
Yeah, Giolito and DeGrom had a nice pitcher's duel.
Yeah, and if Stroman gets it going and Mats, and I mean, they're the motivational Mets, baby. So, yeah, Syndergaard's fun. I hope he has a huge second half. And, yeah, I know his social media can be kind of tough at times. Feels like a lot of agent involvement in his social media.
I think he has a PR team run it. I think that's, like, something we know now.
Yeah.
And I think he stopped. It was, like, or during the offseason, it was like, dude, this is brutal. You're not a human. Anyway, what's your standout performance?
Jim, I'm going with Matt.
Ooh, Matt.
I'm taking Matt.
Matt.
Matt Olson Chapman.
Olson Chapman.
Matt Olson Chapman. Jim, I was going to give it to Matt Chapman because in the rubber match in the best series of baseball from this week, the A's versus the Brewers, the rubber match, game three, Josh Hader is in with the lead and the bottom of the eighth, which normally means game over. Matt Chapman takes him yard two-run yabo to basically win the series. So I was giving it to him, and I was like, you know what, Jim? Matt Olson won the first game on a walk-off off Josh Hader. So if I'm going to give it to a Matt, I'm giving it to both my Matts. And, Jimmy, I guess maybe we'll get to another Oakland elevator talk at some point. Stay tuned for the end of the show. Jim, if people are wondering why Oakland is good, start with these two dudes. The Mets are awesome. They're 25-26. Matt Olson got a late start to the season. He missed like the first month. He's been raking. They're 25-26 years old. They each have a gold glove. One of them, Matt Chapman, has a platinum glove. They're both going to hit 30 homers this season. And I think it's so funny, Jim. There's all these old baseball phrases that are kind of going away with analytics. And it's like, hey, if you want to build a good baseball team, you want to be strong up the middle. Catcher, shortstop, second, on the mound in center field. And then there's kind of the other old school way that's like, you got your powers on the corner, first base, third base. That's where you want your power guys. A's kind of have a little bit of that identity going on. And I just think if you're not into Matt Olson and Matt Chapman, get into them because they're killing it.
All right. The Mats.
The Mats.
All right, everyone's second favorite segment. Slump Watch. All right, we got some updates for the people currently on Slump Watch. Let's see who worked their way off.
Who's off?
Zimmerman, Jake. He goes 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. And his team wins the game. He's off.
Get him
out
of here.
Zimmerman, it was a long stretch. You had like 4 bad outings in a row. Chris Davis on the Baltimore Orioles. This is interesting. He goes 1 for 6, 4 Ks. The one hit was a home run. 1 for 6 with a home run. Is he on or off?
Jim, for most players, I'd say he's on. But for Chris Davis, he's off. He's asked to try to hit home runs. He got one.
Okay, off. The other Chris Davis in Oakland, he goes 5-for-12 with a homer and a double. Chris Davis, you are off slump watch. Congratulations. Aaron Judge, our guy, the Giant in pinstripes, only 2 games, 1-for-5 yeah. with a single and a walk. That did come in games 2, but he has 4 games against the Red Sox, Jake. I'm leaving Judge on.
Okay, yeah, earn your keep. Earn your keep.
Greg Allen, you put on here last week. He goes 1-for-3, but it was off Verlander, so we got a hit off Verlander, so that's off. When you're Greg Allen and you get a hit off Verlander?
If you get a hit off Verlander and you're on slump watch, that's an automatic off.
James Paxton is still there. He has not pitched. We'll see soon.
Jim, your Cubs bullpen.
This is so interesting, Jake. The Cubs bullpen in games 1, 2 innings pitch, 0 earned runs. In games 2, 2 innings pitch, 0 earned runs. In game 3... versus the Cardinals, 3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, and 2 inherited runners, so 5 runs score. 4 pitchers used, 3 of them gave up runs, 5 hits. They're on, dude. They're still on slump watch.
Yeah, I wanted to take them off for those clean first two, but no, they stay.
Yeah, if I'm putting the notes onto Patreon, I got to stop deleting as we go, but then I'm scared. Yeah. I don't know how to update it anymore. Anyway.
You're right.
All right, Merrill Kelly. I'm adding him.
Your guy.
He now, the same way Zimmerman got put on a while ago, 2 outings in a row with 7 earned runs. He had a 3.77 ERA on the season, and now he has a 4.52. So Merrill Kelly, pitcher, weird name. Kelly Merrill makes more sense to me.
Diamondbacks, by the way, if you're not a big Merrill Kelly fan.
Yeah, Diamondbacks pitcher, new teammates with Mike Leake. Says goodbye to Granky. He's on slump watch. And, you know, 1 good out and gets him off. But 7 earned runs in 2 games in a row, that's bad. I'm also putting Porcello on there, dude. Have you seen how bad Porcello's been this month?
Yeah, Jim, I think this is funny. And this might actually genuinely endear ourselves to Red Sox fan. Or that could be facetious. But I threw Cashner on there because Cashner's 23.1 innings pitch, 7.33 ERA since joining the Sox.
He's bad.
I thought, well, he was solid before coming over, Jim. We talked about that. So I've got him on slump watch. He's not 7.33 bad. And I thought it was funny that we have some stats on here and some different things that we'll share with the Patreons now. You had Rick Porcello so bad this month was your stats.
Listen to Rick Porcello's game log because I'm making a video on him because he punched TVs. We'll get to that and who got mad.
Right.
I'm just going to do the earned runs in his last 7 games. Are you ready?
Ready.
5 earned runs, 6 earned runs, 6 earned runs, 4 earned runs, 6 earned runs, 3 earned runs, 6 earned runs. I mean, that is, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's a 9.35 ERA in his last 7 games started.
It's not good.
It's brutal. So Purcell's on there. You have Cashner on there. And then I put Kyle Schwarber on here, Jake.
Okay.
Kyle Schwarber had a big grand slam recently, like huge monster shot. Awesome. And I'm a big Schwarber fan. I like him. This last series, he goes 0-for-9, big series against the Cardinals in 11 plate appearances. So an 0-for, that's always what catches my eye. So then I dug a little deeper. In his last 13 games, he's 5-for-36, 139 batting average, 205 on base percentage. So Schwarber, you know, go ask Castellanos for some tips about hitting lefties.
He's another guy, man. I might be the only person to lump together Kyle Schwarber and Yasiel Puig, but a couple guys that some of their earlier performances kind of shaped the way you look at them. And I mean, I don't know. Schwarber's been solid, but he's kind of never gotten to that next level that we thought he was going to be, this crazy power bat at Wrigley.
Nah, man. I mean, he only has 1 season with an OPS that starts with 8.
I know you're an 8 dot guy, dot 8 guy.
If you want to be talked about in this league, that's where you kind of got to be.
Damn, Daniel. I think that's it for slump watch, Jim. We'll keep it moving because we had the big trade deadline stuff.
Yep. Moving on to
Nasties and Fuego.
That means on fire, baby. Like Fuego.
Who's on fire? We got this is a fun and Fuego list.
Yeah, I threw some guys on here. Jesse Winker. Famous for waving at the Mets after making a game-ending catch and then getting ejected the next day and all the Mets fans waving to him. That's a fun moment this season.
And he had another nice viral moment because a fan told him about the Bauer trade from the outfield. And they were like, who do we get?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, that's it.
We just sent Puig, just one for one. I thought I was ready for like a bigger reaction about Puig being gone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. You know, but there was nothing, so it was weird. Jesse Winker goes in his three games versus Pittsburgh, 7 for 12. One home run.
Yeah.
I don't think no doubles either, but .583 batting average, 1.476 OPS. 7 for 12 in the three games, though. My next one that I threw on here, Vladdy.
Yeah, baby.
Vladdy the Impaler. His last 12 games, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Blue Jays, Vlad Guerrero Sr.'s son.
Yes.
Last 12 games, 20 for 48 with five home runs and 21 RBIs in his last 12 games. 417 batting average, 472 on base percentage, 1.284 OPS. Go get it, Vladdy.
Yeah, and Jimmy, and I think this is part of the reason you and I love baseball, and I think it's part of the reason some people don't like baseball. Baseball's a humbling sport. There's nothing like the jump from AAA to Major League Baseball. Vladdy Jr. was kind of struggling a little bit, Jim, on July 18th. So we're talking, what, 2 weeks ago, something like that? Vladdy Jr. was hitting .238 with a .317 OBP and a .704 OPS. Like, that's below league average. And, Jim, a couple weeks later, here we are, .267, .341 with a .797 OPS. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets a couple hits today and he is in that .8 section you talked about. And there's no reason to believe it's going to stop, but it just feels like the light bulb went off, he had his major league adjustment, and he's going.
Yep. The next guy I got on here is Aaron Nola's brother, Austin Nola.
Yeah.
And the reason I have him on here is because something I like about watching guys in the NL is they always get called up to be a pinch hitter, to be a defensive replacement, and then people judge them on those at-bats when it's so different than what they've done their entire career. They get their four at-bats. They get into the rhythm of the game. And, like, you know, there's a reason why a guy's third at-bat versus a pitcher, he does better than his first. So when these young guys get called up in the NL and they just defensive replacements, and this is actually the AL, but still.
Yeah, it happens, he's on the Mariners.
It happens more in the NL. But it's like, don't judge him on that. Wait till they let him string some starts together. So Austin Nola gets called up, and all of June he was a defensive replacement, ninth inning guy, one at bat here, one at bat there, and his numbers weren't great. On July 14th, he started getting a chance to be the starter, and they consecutively just gave him games. And since then, since July 14th, .391 batting average, .440 on base percentage, 1.179 OPS, .391 batting average, .440 on base percentage since he's been given the chance to be the everyday starter. Got to go through the league a couple times to see how the adjustments get made, but good for Austin Nola.
And Jim, we've got a couple good baseball stories in this segment. Austin Nola's 29. Didn't make his MLB debut until June 16th of this year. And like you mentioned, Baby Bro is one of the premier pitchers in the National League, Aaron Nola. So he gets the call. And Jimmy, just like everything you look at, you're going to like about this guy. LSU, I mean, we just like that because we like that. But Jim, he's played all over the field so far. He's played catcher, first base, second base, third base, and left field so far, only being in the major league since June 18th. So he's doing everything he can to stay on the field, and he got some run, and he's raking. We like that.
Yep, we like that. Who do you got on here?
Jim, I was going through the notes when we didn't have him on here. I thought we were going to get crucified because we got a couple tweets about this guy. Adam Duvall, Jim. Adam Duvall gets called up by your Atlanta Braves. And, Jim, I said that there were some good stories here. Adam Duvall is 2 years removed, 3 years removed from being an all-star. So think about that. He was 27-year-old all-star. in Cincinnati. He finishes that year with 33 homers. He comes back the next year in 2017, hits 31 homers. This guy thinks he's going to be a premier like power hitter in the major league for a while. Gets traded to the Braves, Jim. He starts struggling. 205, 195 batting average in 2018. He was in the minors all to start this season. So he's a 27-year-old all-star to a 30-year-old in the minor leagues. Jim, he gets the call, and he starts raking. He has a homer in three straight games. In his six games since getting the call, he's hitting 480 with a 1.528 OPS. Awesome baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's a humbling sport, and then you get one more chance. You fucking attack it.
Playing like a dude that does not want to take the bus anymore. And, Jim, this one, it gets tough with the pitchers because you don't want to just throw the great pitchers on in Fuego every week. But Ryu, for the Dodgers, man, Jimmy, five starts in July. The Dodgers went 5-0 in those starts. 32 innings pitched to a 0.55 ERA. It would be insulting if I didn't put him on in Fuego.
German Marquez or Herman Marquez, I don't know how you say it, for Colorado. Yeah. They had a nice pitcher's duel. Both left after the sixth inning with no runs. 0-0 after six. Ryu had like one strikeout.
Yeah, some games the strikeout numbers aren't too crazy, but dude, he's having an incredible season. He's got a good chance to win the NL Cy Young when everyone who normally thinks the Dodgers is probably going to say Kershaw, maybe even Walker Buehler. Ryu, man, an incredible 0.55 ERA in July.
Yeah, it's nuts. Nuts. All right.
Jeez.
All right, we're moving on to who got mad.
Who got mad, Jim?
And this is a whole nother big topic, man. It's gonna be a late show. I just made the executive decision that we are skipping walk off watch and call up watch today. There's some names and stuff down there. So now this is a perk for Patreons. You can read those on the notes. We're not gonna say them because we're running out of time. Because you know who got mad? All of the Pirates, all of the Reds. Yeah. So many suspensions, huge brawl. I broke it down. Went pretty viral, so that's cool. Chris Archer got just like trampled, stampeded like Simba's dad. People kind of know my thoughts on the brawl because I said them in the breakdown. what are yours? And then we could talk about the suspensions for a little bit. I had a takeaway from this, and I read a bunch of Reddit threads from like going into the team Reddit threads to see what the fans of that team are saying and stuff. And my takeaway is I didn't realize Clint Hurdle had such a bad reputation.
Go on.
So there was like all these threads and they're like, Pirates fans, is it true? Like, because this is the second manager that went after Hurdle this year. There's some stats out there. They have the most hit by pitches on fastballs and it's like glaringly, I don't know. I heard that it's like bad. And then
the thing you're referencing from earlier in the year was what manager said, like, everybody knows that the Pirates are like bad guys and throws at you.
So, it might've been Bell, but I don't forget. But
right.
But yeah, man, I didn't realize. And someone said, like, no, this is Clint Hurdle's culture. Like, this is how he runs the team. And they said that he dulled down in the last couple of years. I didn't know all that. I mean, I'm an AL guy and Yankees fan. It's hard to keep track of everything. So Pirates fans or Reds fans are probably like, yeah, dude. Yeah. But I didn't realize it was that bad. So that's kind of funny. Bell, I mean, I've never seen a manager sprint out to tackle another manager and then so angrily be like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
That was wild.
And they're like, not to be rude, they're like old men. like, think about that. I mean, they're, you know, Clint, how old do you think Clint Hurdle is?
66.
Clint Hurdle is 62 years old. So, I mean, just think about a 62-year-old guy fighting.
Oh, no. Clint Hurdle got knocked down and like immediately picked up.
Right. But still, I mean, when I'm 66, well, see if I'm above ground. But Jim, I don't know. My big takeaways from this are, I mean, Amir Garrett coming in with like the 300 jump punch. I mean, that was pretty wild to watch. Yasiel Puig, I mentioned how much I love his sex appeal before. I mean, just being a crazy person, like how. And, you know, normally we see a couple guys in the fight turn it up against the other team. you were all over it when he starts turning on his own teammates because they didn't give him enough support. I mean, that's wild, man. That's like the general turning back to his guys in the battalion and being like, get out there and fight.
It was wild. So whenever these things happen and I post the breakdowns of Puig, all the anti-Puig people are always like, oh, the biggest hold me back so I can act tough. Dude, Kyle Crick was the hold me back so I can act tough. Puig had to get hold back. There's a difference between having to get held back and the hold me back so I can act tough, like fake hold me back. They legitimately need to hold Puig back. It's not an act. It's not part of why he's tough. They need to hold him back because he's a psycho. He spent 6 months as a hostage to a drug lord trying to escape Cuba. The dude's been through some stuff. Did you see him deck one guy on his own team tried to grab him and he just fucking pummeled him?
No, not happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Puig's yelling at his teammates, and the manager, David Bell's like, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Puig and Bell were the tag team. That was pretty good. The Garrett stuff, even when he was walking away, you had that really good, the flex on the way out. I don't know, Jim. I'll just go broad stroke here. Just because I won't deep dive into the players. If you haven't and you don't know, Jimmy did a pretty incredible breakdown. I won't say it's your Mona Lisa. It's up there. I mean, it's good.
8 minutes,
Yeah. That was killing me, all the people that were like, hey, you should do more breakdowns this length. And it's like, well, people, what you don't know is that Jim puts about 2 hours of crazy, vicious work into this. he looks like a coder from The Social Network. Anyways, Jim, my big takeaway, it's great for baseball. There's a bunch of eyes on baseball, and this was a real fight. Like, if we're judging baseball fights, this was like an 8.5 out of 10. For me, I have that moment of sadness that I'm like, it sucks that this is what it takes to get a lot of eyes on baseball. So I don't know. That's kind of my big walk away. But end of the day, I'm pretty good with everything that went down, to be honest.
Yeah, every sport has fights, and they will be headline news.
Right.
And, like, the only way I get into the NBA is if there's a fight.
Right.
Or a crazy buzzer beater, which I think is similar to the way non-baseball fans get into the MLB.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but David Bell now has the most ejections for a rookie manager ever.
David Bell's in fuego.
Yeah. It's funny that they clash because the Reds are very much building this culture of swag and fun and personality and be yourself. And I guess the Pirates are very much stuck in the like, no.
Clint Hurdle.
Kella gets the most suspensions because he admitted to throwing at heads, which just kind of dumb.
Yeah, and baseball, we'll probably have some.
Dude, I'm all for that. Guys that throw at heads, if they admit it, I mean, that could really hurt someone. I know, like, some people are, you sound like a pussy. No, dude, that could really, really hurt someone. So, like,
it's 2019.
Don't aim at someone's head. And if you admit to aiming at someone's head, you should get the biggest fine. Because what Kella does with the ball versus what Garrett was trying to do with his fist, one is way more damaging.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I mean, the part that sucks for me is that, like, nobody will ever admit to throwing at someone ever again. Which, I don't know, that kind of sucks because then we're always just going to be in this cobweb area where it's like, well, I really think he did. Well, I don't know. I think it just got away from him. So, I mean, that part sucks. It's also right by baseball because you can't do that. Stop throwing at the heads. Like, let's just get that out there. Like,
seems smart. I'm for it. Yeah. All right, so some little mads. Josh Reddick got ejected. I'm trying to break down that. Like, ump kind of, he's throwing all his equipment. He's upset that the ump didn't say he foul tipped the ball. I haven't looked at the slow-mo replay. It doesn't look like he foul tipped it, and the ump called it a strikeout. And he throws his helmet, throws his bat. As he's walking towards the dugout, he takes off his elbow guard, and he throws it backwards. So it's kind of towards the ump, but I think it's towards, like, his pile of equipment. And the ump threw him out for that and was like, that's one too many things you threw. So it seems lame. I got to look into it. Porcello had a rough first inning. Not even a rough first. He only gave up one run to the Rays in his first inning, but he's been so bad. He broke both TVs on his way to the clubhouse after the first. kind of funny. And Renteria got ejected by Angel Hernandez, who made just one of the worst calls on a low strike pitch you'll see. Whatever. Angel Hernandez still being allowed to ump makes me mad.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. All right, Jim, I know you want to skip it. I call up watch real quick. Dylan Tate for Baltimore, because I think it's good PR for the players. Former first-round pick. He's in the bullpen now. He's got some talents. Bo Bichette, son of Dante Bichette. He comes up for these Blue Jays, and that they've got a lot of fun young ex-pro kids on their team now with Biggio, Vlad. And Jim, Brian Abreu gets called up for Houston as a reliever from Double-A, and he's got crazy strikeout numbers, bad ERA.
Yeah, so a note on Brian Abreu is they put him on the 40-man roster so they would save him from the Rule 5 pick because the Orioles hired two guys from the Astros who are really, really knew what their prospects were. So right. the Astros did not want their ex-employees to steal Brian Abreu from them because they knew how good he was. So they had to put him on the 40-man way earlier than they would have originally, which is kind of fun to save him from the Rule 5 draft. Bo Bichette, just a fantastic job by Dante and his wife. Giving Bo a name because Bo Bichette is a fantastic. Yeah. If you know your son has a possibility to be a professional athlete, and because you were, he does. Great name,
right?
Fantastic,
right?
Name. Dylan Tate, first round pick, fourth overall, been traded twice now, and that's not a good sign. So, but yeah. Good Bo for Dylan Tate going to be a reliever.
Bo Bichette also kind of sounds like Boba Fett for my Star Wars people out there. So we're done with call up watch.
Done with call up watch. We did it quick. And now we are moving on to awards.
I'm excited for your award, Jim.
You're excited for my award?
Yeah, man.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Mine is the Drowning in a Teacup Award.
I mean, there's awards. There's Lifetime's Achievement Awards. There's Emmys, there's Oscars, but the Drowning in a Teacup Award.
Mm-hmm. So
who's
getting
it this year?
Do you know that reference, Drowning in a Teacup? It's from one of our favorite bad movies.
No.
Oh, wow. They called me a dreamer. They said, you can't drown in a teacup. Well, you can. You just have to find a big enough teacup. It's all about dreams, Jake. And you know who just got his dream come true? You know who just drowned in a teacup?
Bo Bichette.
Christian Patterson.
CPAT.
Christian Patterson, young kid, goes to a Rockies game, lights up the radar gun machine, fun time, hits 96.
Yeah.
Did it at the Oakland A's AAA facility as well the year earlier. Then he goes to his local baseball facility, takes some videos of him throwing 96 again from a pitcher's mound with a slider and a changeup, posted on the Flat Ground app, which I think is Pitching Ninja's work, just signed a deal with the Oakland A's. Goes from being a fan, lighting up a radar gun at a game, to now signing a deal with the Oakland A's, and getting to chance to live out his dream on a minor league mound and go as far as he can.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome story.
It is very cool. And I think it's funny when you and I went to winter meetings, we sat down with an agent for a little bit and we talked about Pitching Ninja. The agent's Josh Kuznick.
We got to get him back on this show now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. People will like him a lot. And he was like, dude, I have no reason why that Pitch Ninja hasn't been signed by either a team or an agency to get these players found, because he did that with a couple guys this offseason. And now we're seeing the effects of it. And it's pretty cool. And a couple of these stories are guys that are like, yeah, I kind of flamed out, had a bad injury, got away from it, started throwing the pill again, and I hit 96. And it's like, well, damn, man. Yeah, let's get you doing something. So that is a really cool story, Jim.
Yep. So I also like that drowning in a teacup is a euphemism for achieving your dreams.
What is that, Dinner for Schmucks? What is that?
Yeah, Dinner for Schmucks.
Nice. I haven't watched that in a while. I might have to throw that on.
Oh, bad movie.
Whoa, strongly disagree. Well, haven't watched it in a while, so we'll find out. Jim, my first award, or my only award, is the Strowman Child Please.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jim, the Strowman Child Please award is going to Jose Berrios. Jim, two pitchers, kind of slight of frame for pitchers. Berrios is listed at 6 feet. I don't think I'm buying it. Jim, Berrios comes out this, well, his last game this series against Miami, sure. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, 11 Ks, no walks. His ERA is down to 2.8 on the season. He did it in 81 pitches too, Jim. I know you like that. Jimmy, this guy is having an incredible season, and he came up in 2016. He was 22. He got knocked around a little bit. For the past 3 years now, he was solid. He kind of had two similar years, and people got worried about that. He's taken it to another level this year. 10-5, 141 innings pitched already, 133 strikeouts. He's been an all-star back-to-back years. People aren't talking about the Minnesota Twins enough. They know, and at this point, if you are talking about the Twins, you know the lineup. People got to respect Berrios. And I know Stroman got a lot of love this break. He had a really good ERA. He didn't have the strikeout numbers. My guy Berrios, man, he's twirling it. He could have gotten mentioned at a lot of points in this show, and he didn't, so he gets mentioned now. He's having a crazy year, and man, I mean, if people sleep on the Twins, as we saw, Jim, when the Yankees went out there, they can put up big runs. So if Berrios can put on a couple good games this postseason, man, I mean, they become that much more dangerous.
Yeah. All right, Berrios, congrats. What was the name of the award?
Strowman? Child, please.
Strowman, child, please. So you think Berrios hates Strowman?
Oh, yes. Oh, I know it.
Funny joke.
Funny joke.
Funny joke. What's
everyone's
next? Elevator
favorite
talk?
Segment? I think so, Jim.
Time to spin that wheel?
Oh, I do want to say, before we do elevator talk, if you want to get the wheel ready, guys, I mentioned we're almost at 300 reviews. We're going to give away some stickers, and the way we're going to do it is you need to be the first fan from your team, and maybe you could claim you got the Talking Baseball sticker for your team. That could be a lifelong achievement award. We talked about the drowning in a teacup. Leave a review. Be like, love my Braves, love my Nats, love my White Sox, whoever it is. If you're the first one to your team, we're going to get you a sticker, and you can like put it in your Twitter profile, like, I am the Talking Baseball representative of my team.
Yeah, and I still owe ticket stickers to the first 50 reviews. I have a bunch of names down, so
stickers are coming.
Yeah, I got to get them made. I had them made. I think they're too big, so I gotta make some more and stuff like that.
Too high.
Too high. All right.
What do you mean too high?
Here,
all right, who do we got?
Here we go, Jake. We're spinning the wheel. Explain to them what it is if they do not.
Elevator talk is if you get in an elevator with a fan of a certain team, and that elevator, it's a big building, you're going to be in there for like 2 minutes or so, you got enough to show them that you're a baseball fan, you know their team, and you can have a nice little conversation with them. And it's also a good way for us to involve some teams we might not talk about a lot during the episode.
Boom. It's spinning. And
spinning.
We have we did that team a couple days ago.
Okay.
We have the New York Mets. Did we do them recently?
I think we've done a lot of Mets this episode, though.
Okay. Spinning.
Final spin.
The Pirates. I mean, okay, where are
Ooh.
The Pirates at, Jake?
Yeah, I like that, Jim.
Like, are Pirates fans proud of what they're about and they're doing right now? Because I ran into some on the internet that were a little like, this kind of blows. Like, I don't want this reputation in the league. I don't know how majority of Pittsburgh feels. It seems like a town that can get behind that old school gritty mentality. But
right.
We'll see. They've been losing. They're the worst team in the NL right now.
They're the second worst team in the National League to the Marlins. They have the second worst run differential. They're kind of setting their spot as the second worst team in the National League, which, again, Jim, going back to a couple weeks ago in the All-Star break, they were ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. They were kind of in that mishmash of NL Central teams. So I think what you're saying, Jim, that kind of, yeah, Clint Hurdle, this tough old school mentality, when you start losing, that starts to wear off. Jim, they have a couple hitters that have been doing fun things lately. Josh Bell is obviously still having a big year. We saw him at the Home Run Derby and all of that. He's going to end up with 100 RBIs this year. And we had a couple guys, Colin Moran, Adam Frazier, they were finding their way on Elf and Fuego recently. Same with Kevin Newman. He's got a .312 batting average. So you got some young hitters there to get excited about.
Dude, they are 3-16 since the
Yikes.
All-Star break.
Yipes.
3-16 since the fucking break. That's terrible. That's Marte has batted third for like 2 months straight now. That's interesting. And Bell, they're 3-4 are good. Marte and then Bell.
Boom. Lock it in.
The rest, they don't really know what's going on. They got Melky. He's bouncing around. Newman, Newman stole three bases in the last two games. So you can talk about that. And he stole home earlier this season. Like, hey, how about that Newman? He's stealing bases. I didn't see that coming.
And, Jim, if you're in the elevator, A, you talk about Chris Archer getting walked all over during the fight, and that's obvious. B, they had one of the bigger names not traded at the deadline, Felipe Vasquez, the nightmare. We heard a ton of rumors about him, so I think maybe that's my getting off the elevator line. Is like, yeah, that probably would have been nice to flip Vasquez for some nice prospects, but he's good, huh? And then I'd be like, that would be my exit.
That would be your exit? Adam Frazier. Yeah. Has taken over the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
From Newman.
Ooh, that's such a good elevator. I know your team topic. You like Frazier in that leadoff spot, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Frazier had the leadoff spot to start the season, okay?
Right.
Then he loses it, and in late May, Newman takes it over, Jake.
Yeah.
Then Newman has the leadoff spot for a majority of June. Now Frazier's getting it back. Wow, this is great elevator talk. Who do you like, Newman or Frazier? You like leading off?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Wow. It's not a platoon. It might be a platoon thing, but it doesn't. The game logs don't make it look like a platoon.
I'm off the elevator.
Yeah, we're good. Basically, do you think Clint Hurdle has implemented a bad culture? That's if I'm on an elevator with a real Pittsburgh fan, that's my question. Do you like Clint, or has he run his course? Has baseball gone away from Clint Hurdle?
Jim, we mentioned it briefly. Pittsburgh traded Corey Dickerson to the Phillies. Dickerson's having a solid year. 315, 373 OBP, 924 OPS. It's in 44 games, but man, in Philadelphia Stadium, he could do some things, especially he was traded for international bonus money and a player to be named later. So, hey.
Hasn't he been traded for, like, nothing twice now?
Yes. Yes, and he keeps – maybe he's like a – we might have to – if anyone knows anything about Corey Dickerson, why has a guy with an all-star with a 9 OPS been traded pretty much for nothing twice?
Dude, listen to this trade.
Yeah.
So in 2016, he was traded by the Colorado Rockies to Tampa Bay Rays for two-way McGee. No, that's not. No. For Herman Marquez, who's now a stud for the Rockies.
Yeah.
So, wow. And Jake McGee, who he does some stuff, right?
Yeah, lefty reliever.
So Corey Dickerson for Marquez. Colorado Rockies probably happy with that right now. So then Tampa trades Corey Dickerson to the Pirates for Tristan Gray, a minor league, and Daniel Hudson. Like, that wasn't a lot. And now the Pirates have traded him to the Phillies for literally international bonus money and a player. Corey Dickerson gets traded. He got traded for Marquez, big, and then he's been traded twice for nothing in 2 years in a row.
Yeah. In 2017, he got traded after being an all-star, I think because Tampa didn't think he played good enough defense. And, Jim, in 2018, he won a gold glove. So, Corey Dickerson, man. If someone tell us something about Corey Dickerson, because it doesn't add up.
Doesn't add up. All right, that might be one of the longer episodes we'll have. I'm supposed to be on a show in 15 minutes, so We thank you for listening. We are currently still in the top 20 for iTunes sports podcasts, which is fucking incredible. We thank everyone that's been leaving reviews, subscribing, and telling other people to listen and check it out on the iTunes app. If you listen on any other app, we appreciate you too. But the podcast game's weird and the iTunes charts matter the most. We are out of here. We'll be back on Monday to discuss the weekend series. Jake, last words?
Enjoy a good weekend of baseball. How about that?
Bam. See ya. Talking baseball.